Thanksgiving Day, Labor Day, to talk to you about a sort of a mystery, hopefully made clear to us, about grace and good works. I think most of you are very familiar, if not over familiar, with the first part of grace. And what I'm talking about here is salvation when I talk about grace. The way to the Father, God, is through Christ Jesus. And grace bestows upon us salvation through Christ. The only way to heaven is by grace. You get something you don't deserve. In fact, you probably can never, ever deserve. You get pardon from your sins, as gross as they may be, all of them. And you have an intercessor, and his name is Christ Jesus, and through his blood, you are forgiven. And because you are forgiven, you are pure in the eyes of God. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it was given to you by God Almighty through Christ Jesus. And why? It's a four-letter word. It's called love. L-O-V-E. And towards the end of the program today, we'll have a special presentation on the issue of love. So you know, you don't earn your way into heaven. You get there because you seek salvation through Christ Jesus and your pardon. There's no reason why you should be there. Me either. But we're forgiven. That's what Christ did for us. So is that it? No, there's a portion of the scripture that says that faith without works is dead. What does that mean? It's a wonderful topic on Labor Day, isn't it? The idea that faith brings with it a change in you. We have been created in the likeness of Christ Jesus and God to do good works. Now, what does that mean? Good works. I use a lot of the term from time to time when I tell people good job. Is that the same as good works? I don't know where you are on that. I want you to understand that Christ did good works. Did he not? Think of all the things that Christ did before he was crucified. All the people he saved. People he brought back from the dead. The word he preached. Not to church people, but to the sinners of the world, like you and I. He's beaten and stoned for his good works. He received no praise. Even his apostles in his moment of trial were sound asleep. Weren't there. He begged God, why have you forsaken me, is he on the cross, undergoing the punishment for you and I. So good works were created by God for us to do. Well, what are they? Well, does that mean I build a church somewhere? It may be that. No, I'm talking about you and I now. I don't know about you. I haven't built any churches lately. What are your good works? The other day, I was out in the hot sun cleaning the horses' corrals and their water, and I said to myself, why? As soon as I clean the water, the horses slurp in it. They don't respect my work. The other day, it was at 6 o'clock in the morning, my wife is up, she's mopping the floor. I told her she had to be quieter because she had wakened me. That did not go well. My son, who is here visiting us this morning, has got a plate full of problems over where he works. And going with those things are a lot of the abuse that comes away. Some of you this week were challenged by some of the things that you had to do. Maybe it was cooking your own meal. I'll just skip this one today again. Maybe it was caring for a loved one. Maybe it was running an errand. If you think about your past week, all the things that you did, are those your good works? And the answer is yes. You do a lot of things, day in and day out, most of it not noticed, not praised, sometimes criticized, but these are your works. Now, who do you do them for? Well, you say, I did it for the horses. My wife mopped the floor for me. You see, it's not about you. Your works is not about you. Your works are credit to Lord Jesus. And your works show your faith day in and day out. You don't miss. Now, some of you do physical things. You do all sorts of chores. You do a good job at them. Do you do a good job at them because you're paid well? Probably not. Probably paid poorly, if at all. Do you cook those meals because you're just the greatest cook on the West Coast? No, you've probably been in the frozen section of the market, and your contribution is that microwave. That's not the point. Who do you do it for? You do it with good cheer, with love in your heart, with patience and forbearance, just like the Lord did. Do you find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus thanks himself for all the work he's doing? You find anywhere in scriptures that he asks for thanks? He praises constantly God who is in heaven. That's your walk with Jesus. Sometimes you should be very happy and satisfied. They're able to, in silence, say, "Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Let my faith shine through. Let me give thanks to you for being able to do the things you would have me to do." All too soon, we'll lay down our lives. Man's time on earth is short. I think of you this week as I was working on this. You know, Mona called, and I called, and she called, and I called, and we finally got to talk to each other about the music. You know, she's a gem. I called John Chris. I said, "John, I got a problem." He says, he almost hung up, but he didn't. I said, "Can you help me solve it?" I didn't really say, "Can help me solve it?" I said, "Will you solve it?" Now, he's leaving for 2 weeks next week. He's packing. He stopped everything. Betty called. "We got to get the door fixed." Have you noticed the door is fixed? What an act of grace that was. John Chris come up one day, and the guy didn't show up. Call him, he said, "I'll see you later." So Betty calls, "Can you show up the next day?" And I came and showed up with Sharon, and guess who was out in front? John Chris. The door works. You can actually lock it. Before that, you could have come in and done anything you want in the church, and you know the Lord protected us on that thing. The fire alarms work. Your board of elders does it. I think of Jerry Watson and all the work he does for us as a congregation. I think of Don Van Tongelen over there and what he's done for us. They don't complain. They don't ask. for gratitude. They give thanks to the Lord, and their works reflect their faith. Neil's a dear person, and we pray for his well-being and recovery. Yours too, Mark. His works and contribution stand out in the church as well. All of you do. That's why this church won't fail. That's why this church will prevail. Because our faith shines through our works. We may not be very good at something, but you know what? We're in the game. And we're getting better. And we're going to continue to be in the game. That's our works. That's our Labor Day. That's our celebration. That's our gift from Christ, is our works. You may be a college student. Boy, what a treacherous time that is. You got the worst teachers known to mankind. In a book that no one can read or understand, should never have been published. In a course that you can't understand why anybody ever took this course. But you know you go. And you try. And put forth your faith. And you do it. That's what that's about. And you grow. And you get better. And that's how they shall know you as a Christian or not. Not just by your faith, but by what that faith produces, your works. You're not going to gain salvation on your works. They're like filthy rags if you're going to try that route. That's not going to work. But either is the absence of works and just faith. It takes both. This is a two-part program. Jesus just did not sit down on a rock somewhere and save the world. Think of where that dear person went, who he confronted, who were his friends. The world was his enemy. Did he ask to make his work easier? I do. I ask my work to get easier. I'd be some kind of automatic watering system I could buy. Horses that do it can learn to turn the water on themselves, but it doesn't work out that way. Just jammer it up. Is your job going to be easier? Don't make that prayer. That's what the Lord taught you. Pray for strength, inspiration, and opportunity. You can do it. You should do it. We all should. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship." Pretty good words. "Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You were not born and saved on a free ride. I'm sorry. You're in the wrong part of the world. And also remember Romans 3, verses 20 through 24. "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now our righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, who all believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." The two go together. So, I'm going to ask you to sit back and think for a moment. It's just like in class. I'm going to call upon one or two of you to share with us briefly one of your chores. Good works, moments of inspiration. Last week, that might reflect your Christian faith. So this begins by dear wife Sharon. Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
Do you have a moment for us? What was it?
I think I encouraged you to bend and not break because you were ready to call in sick about the time you called John Chris.
You're probably right. Okay, my son John Ray, you've had a good week. Can you share with us a moment of good works?
Yeah.
You didn't prepare for this, did you?
No, I did not prepare for this. The moment of good works was trusting that He would give me the strength, because the answer to a lot of the problems came right away. But to get to that answer was going to be an incredible struggle and a long, long road. And when you realize that, you start looking for easier paths and praying for that strength to go get what was right and stick with the course.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Nancy Wallace, your turn, dear. Anybody else like to share their moment of what you did reflects your faith and how you dealt with it? No one? Okay. I'll share one last one. This is sort of a negative type of thing, but it's sort of interesting. A lot of trees have died on my property. They're mostly cedar trees. And it's been the drought and lack of water. Anyway, it was decided a month or two ago to cut them down. We got that part done. Anyway, they just lay out there in big stacks. We try to do something. And they need to be cut up, bucked up, stacked. And I expect my granddaughter to do that. That's not working out. I even bought her a new chainsaw. What a guy. You know, you think about that. So I decided that I'll go saw them up. I'll do my work. So I didn't want to do it. It's hot, but I'd go out and do that. And so as I was walking out the house, my wife, she looked at me, and I was stumbling a bit. She says, "Where are you going?" I says, "I'm going to go cut up the wood." And she looked at me, and she says, "No, you're not." I said, "Why is that?" She says, "You're not very steady, and I really have you in one piece instead of a chainsaw, different pieces." So I did get it sawed up. But I'm glad to announce that my son is going to be here today, and so my good works will be transferred to him. That's just wonderful how some things work out. Doesn't it work for you? I know a lady I'm going to call upon that has been challenged, and her faith in the Lord is reflected so many times. You know, Marge is our treasurer. Did you know that? She's the money woman of the church. She hates her job. I don't blame her. We always ask her to do things, and she always looks, she says, "Where should I get the money?" And Jerry and Emma are so good wrestling, but she's never gone to pieces. Because I've known some who have. You do too. How you do monthly when you make out your checks? You have some moments out there? She does. And yet, she always has a smile on her face. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, she asked for a budgeting program that she could understand, and we just told her, okay, and not much has changed. But her records are perfect. And she does it without asking for thanks. And she really is a blessing. And so I see your faith through your good works. And we should continue on. So that's where we are. Works, Labor Day. You know, what a lot of people in the country think that Labor Day is I don't know what they think about it. I know if you're a union man, I know you got an idea what Labor Day is. It's all about unions and stuff like this. Been there, done that. But I wanted to remind you of what the Bible teaches us. That your works and your need to work were created way before you were here. It was created, God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh, remember? God did just not hang out. You think of all he did. Think of what Christ Jesus did, his good works. Think of the apostles and the work they did after he was gone. Think of the countless Christians, including yourselves, who go about every day and make every day special. And you reflect your good works, Christ Jesus. I want to congratulate you, encourage you to keep up the work, and ask for God to protect you and watch over you. And also, don't forget that as mighty as your works are, as honorable as they are, they don't get you into heaven. There's a different process for that. Completely different. Okay, so would you please stand with me and